The parallels between this flood story and that recorded in the Old Testament are quite noticeable. The story of a universal flood that destroyed humanity is also found in the Gilgamesh epic. The Mesopotamian flood story dates to the 17th century BC. That's our earliest surviving text for it. It was probably well known long before that as a popular poem transmitted orally. There are several examples of flood stories known throughout the world. About 30 or so survive from different cultures. And usually the flood is prompted by the annoying behavior of humans. So we bring it on ourselves. And almost invariably, it is because humans are too loud and irritate the gods. So it's not a matter of impiety in most of these traditions, but just our mere presence and the noise that we make. It makes the gods seem very much like adults who are surrounded by children screaming and making all sorts of noise that's irritating, and you want them to go away. In the other flood stories, there are always survivors, and this allows humanity to continue. The story of the flood shows how moody and capricious the gods are in Mesopotamia. And one way to try and prevent or at least lessen the wrath of the god was through prayer. Gods needed a lot of attention. They need prayers, they need gifts, they need daily worship. So you can't neglect the gods on any occasion, because what they can do to you in return is too severe. The prayers that survive focus on preventing this type of punishment from the gods and asking for protection from them. So protection usually from evil. A prayer to the great gods survives that says, "Gods who judge cases for the land, the ordainers of destinies, the ones who draw up designs, apportioners of lots for heaven and earth, in your power in decreeing of destinies. The destiny of life is yours to ordain. Let me escape evil." So often a prayer will have a sort of a big wind-up discussing how important the gods are, how great they are, how many blessings they have sent. So this sets up a situation in which the human is acknowledging that in comparison to the gods, they are completely powerless. The request comes at the very end and is usually very brief. Just let me not be harmed. Let me escape evil. But in general, the purpose of the prayer is to honor the god and to acknowledge his or her power. Prayers also requested protection from harm. A prayer to the messenger of the gods, Nusku, to prevent a nightmare from coming true, illustrates the importance of dreams, which were believed to foretell the future. And we will return to this theme in a later lecture when we talk about divination and messages from the gods. The prayer goes, "This dream, which was brought to me in the evening, midnight, or morning, which you understand, but I do not, if it is evil, may the evil not overtake me." So there's a lot of concern about evil coming that humans don't know about and don't deserve, but that the gods have decreed for them. And many prayers try to prevent this evil from actually coming. The concept of human evil or sin is a little difficult to understand in Mesopotamia. We know that both intentional and unintentional mistakes could be punished equally severely. So mortals had to be constantly vigilant and pious. You could be punished for something you didn't know that you had done to offend the god. You could even be punished for something that someone else did. So it really creates a sense of insecurity and constant worry. Often Mesopotamian poems, especially religious poems, are interpreted as implying a rather pessimistic view of life. And if you think about all of the dangers that surrounded humans in antiquity, disease, illness, floods, any sort of injury could be severely life-threatening. It helps us understand that the prayers aren't necessarily pessimistic, but they are an acknowledgement about how little control humans had over their life.